My other spouse is Lady Gaga. All right, this episode is actually part two of three of the Tony Mast interview. Again, it's a lot of fun. Assuming that we make it to part three, then Tony will now have the record for Deadpan for the longest series of interviews. But it was a fun conversation. He's a fun guy. I'll let you throw in the joke there. So I won't stick around too much in the intro babble. I will say that Daniel Warner said, kind of cool. Did you hear that Gaiman wrote a Sandman prequel that is being released at some point this year? Art by J.H. Williams III. SB says, CP Rooster, Alice in Chains. The Energizer Bunny said, had a thunderstorm last night, now it's hot and muggy. Vanamon said, I've looked at the tea leaves of Twitter and it seems an interview with someone called Nicole is in the DP future. I'll pass on the chicken entrails ellipsis. J.R. Murdoch says, you are not on the national do not call list, donotcall.gov. And the first of the week was not Vanamon. It was Lopan said, ba, zing, ga. Okay, the voting for the Palooza is underway. It's Blade Runner or Buckaroo Banzai. The link is on the page at deadpan@jackmangan.com. Voting's going to close down before the end of the month. I actually forget the date that I set. I could look it up, but it's the end of the month. So go out and vote and help us decide what our next Palooza film will be. And in other news, the Ear Buddies Forever are away. So if you want to be in Ear Buddies Forever and have not contacted me, then let me know. There are lots of slots open. And Ear Buddies Forever is, there's no time limit or timeline. It's just whenever you want to do it. All right, enough intro babble, for fuck's sake. Let's get on to the conversation with Tony Mast of Backseat Producers. Enjoy. Deadpan is away. Thank you for listening. I'm not coming back after the interview. Although there will be music. I won't come back after that either. Good night, Mush.
The elevator pitch that I have for it is that it's twofold. It's we're a beer and pretzels movie podcast, or we are a book club, except instead of books, we talk about movies.
Right. And it's both. I'd say that, yeah.
Yeah, it's really both. It's and for me personally, what Backseat Producers is for me personally, it's a really good excuse for when Wednesday night comes around to have my friends come over, to have a couple of drinks, to have a good conversation about a movie. And that's, for me, that's what it is. It's, for a while, I tried to make it more than that, and I got stressed out and unhappy and just tried to make it something it wasn't, got really concerned with trying to worry about the the number of listeners and things like that. You know, shit happens, yeah. Life happens, and If you go away for a while, people lose track of you and forget that you're out there, and that happens. And instead of getting stressed out about it, I kind of took a look at it, and when I was able to get back to it and come back to it, the people that were still out there were like, hey, yeah, I remember that, and I want to come back to it. And hey, you guys are still out there. That's cool. And so, you know, we don't have a huge listener base by any stretch, but the people that listen, and they enjoy it. And you know, there are times when it honestly surprises me to find out that certain people listen that do listen. I was stunned at one point when Sam Sloan, he used to do the news for Farpoint and Slice.
Yeah.
He mentioned something specifically from an episode of Backseat Producers, and I was taken aback. I was like, you write for Slice. you're important. What are you doing listening to this? and so there's always those moments when I find out that somebody's listened, and even after this length of time, I kind of get surprised. And that's a cool feeling. And Twitter has, there was one moment on Twitter, probably about 6 months ago, somebody mentioned, I don't even remember how the conversation went, but I put something out there that basically referenced the movie Moon, mm-hmm. which, yes. Great movie. If you get the chance, it is really worth seeing. Well,
yeah, very smart movie. Yes.
Yeah, smart movie, very low budget, but doesn't ever feel like a low budget movie. Right. Almost at no point does it feel like a low budget film. Duncan Jones, the director of Moon, is on Twitter, and I referenced his you know at name, Man Made Moon, and probably about 45 minutes to an hour after that tweet, I get a tweet from Duncan Jones correcting data that we give out on the podcast that was only in the audio of the podcast. So he was actively listening and tweeting about it while he was listening. And it was like, that was really cool. That was just a really cool moment.
That's some validation right there.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And he was making jokes back at us based on the jokes we were making in the podcast. And yeah, that was really neat.
Hi, this is Anya from Buffy Between the Lines, the audio drama. And you're listening to Jack Manga's Deadpan Podcast. Deadpan is the way. I left out that one word. Is that okay? I mean, I've seen all manner of customs, and you really don't want to know what some demons do with their mothers. I just have sex with Xander. And where's my paycheck? What?
Yeah, so let me go ahead and take a step back for a second. And because we kind of bounced around a little bit. Yeah, March or April 2006 is when Deadpan started. April 30th, 2006 was when the first episode of Fanboy Smackdown dropped, which was eventually the podcast that I had settled on that I would do. And the original conceit was, I'm going to take whatever the hot geek topic of the day is and whatever everybody's fired up about, and tell and kind of break it down and see what everybody's fired up about, and kind of say, here's where you're wrong. You know, you need to just settle down. And I remember, like, at the time, one of the big hot button issues in comic books was that Iron Man had given Spider-Man armor, and he was the Iron Spider armor, and people were all freaked out about it. So that was like one of the lists of topics that was going to be on Fanboy Smackdown. Well, the first episode of Fanboy Smackdown, me and the other guy, the other Tony, that was my original co-host, we decided that we're just going to go right for the throat and do Star Wars. We're gonna break down the original trilogy versus the new trilogy, compare and contrast. Probably piss some people off, and so we did kind of a versus. And then our second episode, we looked at the movies that Lucas did before Star Wars and the movies he did after Star Wars, and that was our second episode. And then our third episode, we talked about the Tim Burton Batman movies versus Christopher Nolan's Batman Begins, which was a fairly new property at the time. And three episodes in, and we're like, man, we just keep talking about movies. Maybe we should just keep talking about movies. And we kind of went from there. And We got rolling for a while, and things were going good, and then in I guess it was June or July of 2006, there was talk of a fan cast for Winging It. And a group of the listeners got together, and they were looking for content and trying to figure things out. And that was when I took my stab at doing Doodle of the Fates, which
it was wonderful. I'm still, you know, I'm very flattered, and it was funny. And I think Ian had called it the best doodle ever.
Yeah, yeah. And that was a lot of fun, and, you know. Until I remember doing it, but. You know, after this many recordings and this much time, I had kind of forgotten exactly what the content of it was. And so I went back and listened, and I actually thought it was really funny. You know, even kind of looking back on it.
Yeah, I mean, it was Evo versus Alvy. You know, Alvy from Boulder, who you know, it might still be found around Deadpan if you look hard enough. But, you know, that was a... It was brilliantly played. So it was...
Yeah,
well done, sir.
Yeah. And oddly enough, I got a LinkedIn request from an Alvy. And I was like, that's weird. And this was just like 2 weeks ago. And I looked and it was Alvy, and he was from Colorado. And I said, no way. And sure enough, one of the people he was linked to was Jack Mangan. So I kind of figured that's who that was.
He sold me a bunch of magazines through LinkedIn. God damn it.
Yeah. Alvy's always good fun.
Yes.
And so we went along for a little while doing Fanboy Smackdown, and on Slice and kind of bled over into Winging It, there had been talk of there had been a lot of conversation about the Enterprise versus the Galactica, and which one was better and which one would do better. And there was a lot of talk about it.
Actually, I'm sorry to jump in and cut you off, but I was actually there that day, and I think it was an offhand comment from Evo. And I think it was around one of the episodes of BSG. It may have even been the one, the last episode of the Pegasus, where, you know, these ships kind of, we saw them really kick ass. And I think Evo just made an offhand comment like, yeah, and take that, Enterprise. And you know, you can't say that kind of thing.
No, you can't.
Because, you know, yeah, it ignited the Trek fans. And I'll turn it back over to you. I remember that because I remember being in studio at Dragon, you know, at Mike's studio at the time.
Right.
Hello, this is Curtin St. George. I listen to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast, so I don't have to kill people. You don't listen to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast? It's not healthy. Just saying, Deadpan is the way.
Yeah, so they're talking about this, and they're like, I can't remember exactly how it went down, but they got the idea together to do Sci-Fi Smackdown. And I think Christiana jumped on board pretty quick. Christiana Ellis, who is amazingly funny and awesome in her own right.
Yes.
She jumped on it. And actually, it was one of those things that was, you know, I was just this little nobody podcaster. And I was like, okay, you're stepping on my toes. Because I'm trying to, you know, make a name for Fanboy Smackdown, and here you are doing Sci-Fi Smackdown, and goddammit, you're so much bigger than I am, and, you know, I want a piece of this. So I pretty much sent an email that said, hey, come on, I want to be involved. And they're like, go for it. And so it was Christiana, myself, and Trampas Whiteman, and yeah, we did Sci-Fi Smackdown. The three
it was
of
a
us
huge success. I remember, you know, the episodes were just blowing up when that came out.
It was I mean, it was weird because we knew that people had an interest in it because of what was going on with Slice. And at the time, Trampas was doing the DL Nexus, the Dragonlance podcast, And Christiana was still, I mean, she was doing some stuff, but she really hadn't exploded, you know, quite to the level that she eventually did. And, you know, and I was pretty much a nobody. And then, you know, we got together and we figured out how we were going to do it. And, you know, we got the system of, there were three of us. So one of us would take each side of the argument and one of us would judge it. And, you know, the judge's declaration would rule the day. And then we would also kind of have a results show where people could call in and give their thoughts and feedback and complain about what the judge said and all that good stuff. So we record an episode and, you know, we get it out there. And, you know, it's like the first day or two, the episode had like 100, 200, 500 downloads. And it was like, wow, this is ridiculous. This is so much bigger than anything any of us had ever done. And then it got on front page of Dig. And it went absolutely insane. The comments on Dig numbered 10,000. The downloads hit like 10 or 12,000 in less than a week. Like, to the point where we got ready to record the results show. And I remember getting on before Trampas and Christiana and I were having this conversation. And I, you know, I don't want this to sound bad because it's like, we all kind of freaked out a little bit. We're like, this is, you know, are we worthy of this? You know, is this real? And, you know, can we legitimately do this? All these people are listening to us. And all these people are kind of counting on us to make a decision about this. Is this something we want to be responsible for? You know, so we took it very seriously. And I think eventually, you know, we kind of, it took like a half an hour of us just, you know, kind of chatting it out. And, you know, we finally kind of got over the jitters of it and just kind of pushed through. And we ended up having, I think, about five competitions through the course of it. And we had a great time. We had a lot of fun. It was, the podcast didn't last real long because when we got to doing, X-Men versus Heroes, and this was when Heroes was still really good, like halfway through the first season, we didn't really even know what all the powers really were of some of the people. And we were doing Heroes versus X-Men, and it was, you know, we had people like Rich Siegfried and T. Morris giving us voices for the little skits that we were doing ahead of the competitions, because we'd always set up the competition with a little skit to kind of frame the combat and kind of frame the rules of engagement. And we ended up doing like three episodes where we basically role-played out a session of the X-Men fighting the Heroes, and it basically burned us out. I mean, it was so labor intensive, and we wanted to do it right. We wanted to do it so right that we got to the end of it, and then we had a ton of feedback. So we did like 2, 3, 4 feedback episodes or something ridiculous like that. And when we got done, we just kind of stood back and said, you know what? We all just kind of needed a break from it. And then things started going well for us in our own ways. And we never did get back to it, but yeah, so I was part of that little bit of history, in podcasting and Farpoint Media.
Which was, you know, it was a cool thing. And I remember it. It really did shake you did shake the pillars of heaven there for a minute, Wang.
Yeah. Yeah, so, we really did.
So it was good stuff. And I agree, it was a lot of fun. I think it really hit a pulse. It touched on a nerve. It touched on an app, something that the whole community was crying, you know, was dying to have. And you know, it had nothing. I'm not at all drawing any lines. But you know, what I was doing was fun with Duel of the Fates was this fun little thing that was ridiculous. I mean, it was whenever when people would grumble about the results, it was like, really, you know, because it was ridiculous. But you know, you guys were actually saying no, this is not ridiculous. This is what would happen.
Right.
Know, these two things locked, squared off in combat. What would happen? And so, you know.
And,
you're right.
Yeah, I remember I was defending the Galactica. And we even framed, you know, which versions of the Galactica and which versions of the Enterprise and that, because like the Picard Enterprise was so much more advanced than the original that it wouldn't have even been. I mean, there's no discussion. It's not even, you know, someone stepping on a flea.
No, you're wrong. I'm telling you. The Galactica would have kicked its ass, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I got so ridiculous with my research that I researched how the shields worked for the Enterprise, for the original Enterprise, and then researched all of the Galactica's weaponry to figure out. I figured out how the Galactica could break down the Enterprise's shields and shoot through them, basically. But I still lost. Yeah, it was. But we had such a great time with it. It's you know, it's research and it's a lot of work. But man, we had fun doing it. We had a lot of fun doing it.
Hello, my name is Jimmy. I live in Denver. You are listening to Jackie Magnum's podcast. Deadpan podcast. I like him. He makes me giggle.
And that's, you know, and I, you know, through the years we've seen people who were sure that they were going to be living in a mansion off of their podcast, and obviously no one's done that. You know, it's the classic saying goes, or if you want to make a little bit of money in podcasting, start with a lot of money. Yeah, you know, that's one of those things. So, or you know, if you're not getting something outside of finances out of it, if it's not fun, if it's not helping you lose weight, say,
yeah,
for example, then you need to not be doing it. So how was that for a segue?
So then I did Tony's Losing It. I started that, and I've got to say thank you, one, to you, and two, to Rich, for helping me put together that promo, and third, to Mike Meninger, who, after I got the promo put together, with your voice and with Ridge's voice, and I had that concept all put together and got it all working. Mike Meninger heard it and he was like, yeah, it's okay. And then he took it and really made it something special.
I remember that well. That was a lot of fun to do.
Yeah.
The results were, you know, and that's nothing to do with me. I'm just saying, yeah, it sounded great. It was a great thing.
Yeah,
it was very clever too. I mean,
I still love listening to that promo. I really do like it.
But you got to get that to me, and that'll have to open this episode.
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, I've thought about starting that back up again, because you know, I had some goals that I did not meet, but the idea was to lose weight. When I started Tony's Losing It, I was around 400 pounds. It took me a while to decide if I was going to announce that number, because it's something very personal and it's something that people will judge you on.
Right.
But my idea for Tony's Losing It and the idea that I always had behind it was that it was going to be for me. It's going to be kind of my journal, my way to keep myself honest about what I was doing, how I was doing it, and what I was going through. Because I didn't know how I was going to end up. I didn't know if I was going to gain weight. I didn't know if, you know, the first time I got on a treadmill, I would have a heart attack. I did not know how it was going to work out. And I just started doing it. And it kind of went through some fits and starts. My second child, my daughter, she will turn 5 in October, but she wasn't around yet when I started podcasting, when I started doing Tony's Losing It. And I was doing really well. I worked out my meals. I started working out. things are going great. My wife's pregnant. You know, I've got a good job. And then about 2 months before my daughter was supposed to be born, my wife's blood pressure starts going crazy. And they eventually hospitalized her for a full month before my daughter was born. And she, my daughter was actually born a month early, and my wife was in the hospital for a month before that. So, you know, I got this 5-year-old at home and this going on. And I basically started, you know, eating every meal either in a car or, you know, from some fast food place. Totally shot everything down. But after she was born, after things settled down, I started back to it. And then I lost that job. And so things kind of went south again. And so there's been some fits and starts to it. And I got to a point where I updated every so often. And I haven't updated in a year. But Christmas of 2010, right before New Year, I weighed myself and it was 405. And now I can proudly say that I am in the 350s. I haven't got quite down to 350 yet, but I took a nice nosedive for a good 6 months and lost about 35 pounds. And then it's been about 10, 15 pounds over the last almost year, but you know, I haven't gotten it back, and it's still going down. And
right. And that's cool. I mean, that's about as much 50 pounds. I mean, that's like you dropped a whole Scott Sigler.
Yeah, you know, exactly, exactly. And you know, the way I look at it, it took me 40 years to get to that point. It's not going to be, you know, overnight. It's not just going to go away. So, you know, I'm still kind of working on it, and I do still kind of peek over at the Tony's Losing It website and think, I need to record something. I need to get something going with that again.
Who is this irresistible creature who has an insatiable love for the dead?
Pan.
And,
oh, yeah.
And you know, I
say if that would help,
it'll
yeah,
do.
But if it's an added burden to the huge task that, you know, getting fit is, you know, for all of us, really any of us who are not in the shape we want to be.
Right.
If it's an extra burden on it, then absolutely don't do it. But, you know, I guess that is a very personal thing.
Yeah, yeah. And that was always the idea, was it was very personal. And you know, I do know of a person or two that listened and, you know, they connected with my struggle and they decided they were going to do something about it. And I've seen pictures of them recently and they don't look anything like they did when they sent me pictures of the, you know, here's what I look like after listening to your podcast for 6 months. And I only listen while I'm working out. And you know, they lost like 20, 30 pounds and they, you know, there was noticeable weight loss in their face. Now I look at pictures of them and they're like fit and in shape. And it's like, holy shit, man, if I did that, I need to get back to this. you know, if not just for myself, but man, if somebody else picks up on this and runs with it too, that's awesome.
Yeah, you know, right. I mean, that would be the flip side of what I said. Yeah, if it helps the whole process, then yeah, then you need to get back to it. And you know, for yourself and you're right. I mean, you will connect with other people and you will inspire other people too. So.
And I think my story with it is pretty real. You know, it's like I didn't go on The Biggest Loser and lose 150 pounds in 16 weeks or something completely ridiculous like that. I'm taking time and losing weight and living life, and you know, I'm going out and eating hot wings and I'm having pizza and I have a couple of drinks on Wednesday night when I record, but I haven't gained the weight back. You know, it's still creeping down, so I must be doing something right.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, and of course that's all part of it. I mean, you know, you have to live too. You can't live in complete deferred gratitude or deferred gratification. You can't live in a complete state of deferred gratification.
No, you'll break. It breaks you, and you'll fall off, and you'll fall hard.
Right, it's like you're living in 1984. You know, in that world, you know, you gotta have some kind of dancing. You gotta have some kind of pleasure. You know,
yep.
You can't live constantly. So, And now, did we touch on everything, or is there more from your, well, your podcasting?
There's a little more. Now we talked about that. I started as Fanboy SmackDown, and I had the hiatus when my daughter was born, and took on a couple of new co-hosts here and there, and it got to a point where I realized that Fanboy SmackDown, as a title, sucks. It was cool and it was hip and it was absolutely not intuitive to what we were doing. It didn't make any sense. So I got it in my head that, you know, at some point, you know, if I'm going to take this seriously at all and get anyone else to take it seriously, I need to do something about it. And I got it into my head to rebrand the podcast, to start over with the name. We always had the intention that we were going to keep the numbering scheme, but we needed an update to the name. And I remember chatting via Skype with T. Morris and mentioning to him, and he starts firing out names. and he came up with Backseat Producers. And it was like, that's it, you know. I immediately went and checked to see if the domain name was available, and sure enough, it was, and it was like that. That was it. I was sold. It was it really matched what we were trying to do with the podcast. And you know, you hear the name, and it's some people kind of titter, and everybody does the backdoor jokes, which is fine. We make them too, but it, you know, it's Backseat Producers, and we do movie analysis, and it's. It makes sense. There's no explanation to it at that point. For you know, when we recorded one of our first promos as Backseat Producers, one of the guys kind of just threw out, "It's better in the backseat." That's become our tagline. If you go to betterinthebackseat.com, I grabbed that domain name and pushed it over because it's cool. You know, I had some t-shirts made up, and that's across the back of the shirt. And it's funny because people walk up from behind me and like turn around and like point at my shirt and go, yeah.